celebrative discipleship. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip down to verses 17 to 20 as we continue our teaching series for this late summer, heading into the fall, about pursuing Jesus, following him as one of his disciples. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, 17 to 20. And I'll go ahead and read that for us, and then invite us to a brief prayer. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Skipping down to verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we give you thanks for just a gorgeous day like today. We've had some challenging weather as of late. We just thank you, especially for today. An opportunity here at the end of August, as school gets ready to start for so many of our children and grandchildren, we bow our heads and our hearts, our minds before you, that we can once again hear from you. Bring us the words of life. Help us to see Jesus today and one another through your eyes. We invite you, Holy Spirit, through all the challenges our nation and world are going through, that once again we cast our eyes to you, Lord, our Lord of glory and our Savior, to find strength and guidance and power. And so thank you for the littlest one that is here to the oldest, as one family of God, from those watching at home and online later, we give you thanks for this precious family. And so be with us during this time in the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I want to share just three things with you this morning. Celebrations are the spice of life. I know often you hear that phrase with the word variety. Variety is the spice of life, but celebrations are the spice of life. Secondly, every celebration eventually comes to an end. And thirdly, and finally, and very simply, Jesus is the greatest celebration of all. First of all, celebrations are the spice of life. And we think about verse 17 here, early on in Jesus' ministry as he commissioned his 12 disciples originally and expanded that to 72. And after being commissioned on a short-term mission trip, they came back returning with such joy. "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." All of us long to do a happy dance, as the kids showed us on that video this morning. Thank you, children. If my knees were in a little better shape, I would bust out in a move as well, but I'm going to be a little bit careful. We long for a happy dance. We long for celebration in our lives, especially during COVID-19. where it seems like everything has been canceled or postponed or hybridized, even as many of our kids' school year will be. My family missed a huge family celebration of my dad's 80th birthday this past spring. We canceled a major family celebration of both that and my dad's retirement. We were supposed to spend a good part of this summer in South Korea with the kids and all their cousins, aunts, and uncles. That was canceled. Just like many of your vacations, trips, family gatherings, and fun things that have been planned from March until now. Celebration is one of the most powerful things that we can engage in our lives. And as I think about the happiest, most significant, and fulfilling times of the years of my life, they almost always have been accompanied by some kind of party and celebration and happy dance. Why is that? Because we have been created for celebration by our Creator, by our Lord, by our God. And for those of us that are part of the kingdom of God and our disciples of Jesus engaged in his work, in ministry, and in church, not surprisingly, a lot of our celebrations and engagements and when we do our happy dance is going to be related to ministry and church work and the things that God is doing in the lives of men, women, and children. Here we have the 72 disciples returning back and celebrating because they saw people's lives touched by the power and name of Jesus Christ. And they were doing a happy dance like no other. And it reminds us just of a few things as we think about celebration. You are what you celebrate. Just think about that and pause at the things that you do your happy dance, whatever that looks like. You are what you celebrate. Not just you are what you eat, you are what you celebrate. My children complain a lot, but they also do a lot of happy dances as well. And one of the times, as of late, that causes them to do the happy dance is when Daddy orders Chipotle for them. And when it's delivered, especially for free by Uber Eats, they literally bust out in some serious dance moves because why? You celebrate what you love. They love their Chipotle. They bust out in a dance. They have their seats set of where they eat it and the order in which they eat it. I order the exact same thing for them each time. And they dance because they love it. When you do your happy dance in life, it reveals what you love. Celebration is so much connected with the things that we love. And so the question arises, why is Jesus telling them not to do their happy dance? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Don't take purse, go by faith, take risk. It's dangerous, you got to be bold. In a dangerous world, these 72 disciples went out, they saw powerful results, but Jesus basically saying, watch out. Think twice before you do this happy dance, before you celebrate. Why is that? Because secondly, every celebration eventually comes to an end. Jesus gives them a stern warning, does he not? However, verse 20, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Why does Jesus issue this warning? It seems counterintuitive, counterproductive. These disciples went out by faith. They didn't take money with them. They went out into a dangerous world, a dangerous situation, dangerous political environment, preaching the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. People were delivered and healed. God's power and mercy were demonstrated. But Jesus tells them, watch out. Don't rejoice solely because the evil spirits have submitted to you. What is going on here? Jesus is trying to communicate how important it is that we treasure Jesus and his love for us far more than the fruits or the results of our labor and our ministries. If I could just sum up this brief phrase, if anything I can leave you with this morning, relationship before results. Relationship before results. You see, these early disciples stepped out in faith. They saw great things happen. They had incredible results. But Jesus is trying to warn them and remind them that we can easily get carried away and distracted by our fruits, by our results, by our hard work, by our accomplishments, even with good intentions, even if it is for the kingdom of God. And it is very easy to forget the relationship, the redemption, the salvation. Jesus says that is the main thing. That is the power and source of your life, your labor, and should always be the foundation of your celebration, of why you do the happy dance. I came across this in Table Talk magazine that helps keep track of this point. Our Lord obviously understood the elation of his disciples for having a successful ministry, but he warned them for having a misplaced basis for their joy. He told them not to rejoice in their success, but to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. You're familiar with this phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees, are you not? The big picture, the foundation of our celebration. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples early on, yes, of course, we're happy with good results. We're happy with good fruit and the work of our labors and when we step out in faith. But that alone should never be the reason why we celebrate. It's my relationship with you. You have been forgiven. You have been adopted. You have been loved. You have been called. I am forever yours. Don't ever forget that. That is the ultimate cause of celebration in our lives. We forget that. We won't be able to see the forest because of the trees. Let's bring that down to a real life example. We push our children. For those of us whose children are grown, think back those few years when they were younger. We push them so hard to be successful, to do the right thing, to get them on the right track so they can have a happy life, a successful life, live the American dream. We desire for them to thrive and rise to the top in this ultra-competitive world in which we find ourselves in, especially here in America. But sometimes we push them so hard that we forget about the relationship, that they are our sons and daughters, they are our grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren. We forget to celebrate that they are our flesh and blood, they are our children. They are to be treasured, not because of how well they do in school or the success track that they are on, but because they are our kids. We love them unconditionally. Lose sight of that, you will drift into a results driven celebration and mindset versus a relationship. These disciples experience something amazing, to experience being called by Jesus himself to see the lives of others changed by the power of his word and his kingdom. But Jesus warns them, be careful. Don't let that be the main cause of your happy dancing, of your celebration. Because when results take over relationship, things can go downhill pretty quickly. Fall into a results kind of mindset in our discipleship, in our lives, our parenting, our marriages, our jobs. That experience, that power, those results can become intoxicating. It can become addictive. And we begin to live for the highs that we feel when results are achieved in our lives, even in ministry. Yes, even in ministry. That is very dangerous. That is destructive. That has been the cause of the downfall of some of the greatest spiritual leaders I've known. You lose the forest in the midst of the trees. You forget about the fundamental relationship reality of being redeemed in the first place when you fall into a results mentality. And that is so hard because everything around us, even in church culture, wants results, results, results. And Jesus says, results are important for sure, but it's that fundamental relationship that is most important of all. That your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have been redeemed. Let that be the foundation and power of results that flow out of that reality. Results-oriented living can lead to obsession to see greater results. We become disconnected from that all-important relationship and reality of our redemption, undeserving that it was, and yet gifted to us. And often the more powerful a ministry you experience, where more lives have been changed than you could care to count, that's where the danger even grows. And that's what Jesus was trying to remind his disciples and these 72. You get on this roller coaster ride of emotion, of highs and lows, of massive celebration and deep downcast discouragement and sadness when you don't see those same results. Roller coaster ride when we live by a results-oriented mindset. This kind of joy, focusing on results, is not a sustaining joy. And Jesus warned his disciples, says one day he would be crucified, one day he will be gone physically from them. There will be times where these results won't happen, where demons won't flee. Then what happens to their joy? And so Jesus reminds us very simply, thirdly and finally, that he is the greatest celebration of all. Jesus says, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. That is the power of our celebration and the reason why sometimes, even when there are no results in our lives, visibly, physically, when we're locked down at home and we feel like losers because there's no productivity in our lives, yet we can get up and do the greatest happy dance of all because of Jesus' love, his joy, his grace and power is my daily reality and transformation. Successful ministries, successful jobs, good grades and high pay and all the things that often bring us joy to bust out in our happy dance will come and go. When sickness comes, when we grow too old and tired, when circumstances change, we get let go from our jobs, is the happy dance still there? That is what Jesus is trying to remind us. Sheer incomprehensible grace that I can belong to the kingdom of God. We who were once far from God have been invited in to be his sons and daughters. If you don't find yourself busting out in a happy dance and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have fallen into a results mindset and you have forgotten about the relationship. When we live in a relationship-oriented celebration, we don't care about our reputation, our glory, our name, our kingdom. It's all for him. Our dancing continues. A results-oriented celebration is a fading one, but a relationship-centered celebration is a growing, glorious one. Should we put that up on the screen just to look at that one more time? A results-centered celebration is a fading one, but a relationship-centered celebration is a growing, glorious, unfading one. We are all looking for a celebration, especially during this time. And Jesus reminds us that our celebration, our happy dance, should be our relationship, our rescue, our redemption, our forgiveness from Jesus himself, more than the results that we often use to celebrate and break out in our happy dance. Four questions and I'll end. When was the last time you did a happy dance? For my kids, it was probably last time we ordered Chipotle for them. How about you? What are some of the things that motivate you to get up off your chair, your sofa, your bed, and do a happy dance? What you celebrate reveals a lot about who you are and what you love. Thirdly, what main lesson is Jesus teaching us from our passage this morning? And why is Jesus worth celebrating all the time? Focus on the relationship. Be blown away that you can call Jesus your King, your Lord, your friend. The results will inevitably follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, during this challenging time where we feel locked down and so many things are so frustrating because of cancellations, postponements, even to have service like this is a challenge. As many would like to be here and for various reasons, understandably so, cannot. In a culture and a mindset that we often are so transfixed by visible physical results, I pray that as you warn the disciples about the power of celebrative discipleship, even when we don't see the results, we can do a happy dance. Remind us, Lord, even when things are all locked down in our lives, with a frustration growing because of the lack of visible results from whatever, ministry, work, relationships in marriage, and children. Thank you that we can still celebrate with the greatest happy dance because you've called us your very own. That will never, ever change. We thank you. We celebrate. We rejoice. We do our happy dance even when life has us down. Because as you reminded the disciples, the relationship with you, redemption in you, is the true reason we can celebrate. So we thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.